I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Texans versus the Steelers this week. Onto the second tier of the AFC. 3.5-point underdog are the Houston Texans. John McClain joining us now. John, are we going to see some changes in the lineup for the Texans, specifically at safety? I know Lonnie Johnson got a little work at safety on Sunday. Is that a transition that we're going to start seeing as the season continues, Lonnie kind of transitioning from corner to safety?
I don't think they're going to be benching Eric Murray this early in the season. He had a good game against Kansas City. He struggled in the last one, as did A.J. Moore, but they're preventing deep passes. They're not giving up big plays down the field. They had a 29-yard pass to Mark Andrews for his only catch. Hollywood Brown had a 25. Somebody else had a 22. So they had three explosive pass plays, none for touchdowns. So they're moving the DBs around. And I don't see Lonnie Johnson coming out and starting at safety this early next to Justin Reed, because he didn't play much in the first game. You know, Vernon Hargraves played the second most of the corners, and Bradley Roby's only deep. He and Reed both went the distance. But we got to see more. Anthony Weaver had no problem not starting Charles Omenihu. Maybe he's worked his way back into the lineup. And I think Weaver, there's some things for him to show his defensive players, starting with the pass rush, about how they were better. Now they've got to do it against the Steelers. The Steelers' offense is not as good as the Ravens. Pittsburgh struggled at home to beat Denver with backup quarterback Jeff Driscoll throwing two touchdown passes. And, of course, what the Texans are going against is the best pass rush in the NFL, led by T.J. Watt. I can't wait to see which Watt brother gets bragging rights. It should be T.J. And which one, has more sacks than the other, because those guys are competitive. They're close. I don't know if they'll be doing any trash talking this week because they're focused on the game, but they trash talk each other a lot the rest of the year.
Talking to John McClain here on Sports Radio 610. So that's on defense. What about on offense? Max Sharping appears to be struggling a little bit, the interior of the O-line as well. Do you think any guys starting spots are in jeopardy given, you know, just the poor performance overall of the offensive line?
I don't think this early. I mean, who are they going to put in? Greg Mantz, who's on the practice squad, Sunil Calamente. I would think at some point, if Fulton, who has struggled, or Sharping, but at least Sharping has got a lot of potential. He came out for a series against the Ravens. I think Calamente could be put in, but I don't see anything happening at tackle. Titus Howard played a better game. You know, Matthew Judon, who killed them last year, barely registered in this game, and they moved him around. But I thought Titus played better, and that has to be important considering how bad he played against Kansas City's Frank Clark.
What are they going to do at running back? David Johnson, only 34 yards rushing and not a lot behind him, or is Duke Johnson going to be ready?
I have no idea about Duke. They activated CJ Prosize. He didn't play. David Johnson's problem was their run blocking was bad. You know, in the first game, the run blocking was good, and the Ravens came in and just suffocated the running game, including Deshaun Watson. He couldn't run much either. And then when you can't run, and I don't care if Watson did throw 275 yards, you know, they did not look good passing the ball. Now, they got Randall Cobb active earlier, and they had – and Brandon Cooks had 95 yards. They had three explosive pass plays, two to Cooks and one to Cobb, and one for – I think it was 23 yards where Watson was getting hit, was as good a pass as you'll see. But you know what? They got to score more. They can't settle for field goals like they did in that game. And this team has got to get to the red zone more, because last year they were one of the top six teams in the NFL in the red zone.
What are they – I know this is kind of a loaded question, but what are they – exactly are the – is the plan with Deshaun Watson here? You mentioned that the throws downfield. Last year they averaged more than five throws of 20 yards or more. This year they have six total. I mean, why are they not unleashing Deshaun Watson here?
It could be because of the pass protection. You can't get set. I don't know why you can't take three steps, especially if you get up close to midfield. Take three steps and just launch it down one of the sidelines. And you're going to have single coverage unless you get too much air under it and give a safety time to come over and let the outside receivers, whether it's Cooks or Fuller or Kenny Stills, fight for the ball. And if it gets intercepted, it's like a punt. And but yeah, they got to throw the ball down to feel better. And I think some of that would have to do with giving him more time to throw. But as soon as you got that back foot hits the ground, it's got to come out a lot, you know, especially when you're having trouble where the quarterback's getting hit too much, which Watson is. He's been sacked eight times, but they haven't been for a lot of yards. But they got to get it out quicker, change your strategy. You know, we've seen Josh McDaniel change his offense for Cam Newton, and it's worked great. They've got to change their strategy to where Watson is not having to run around and avoid sacks, where he can look down the field.
What do you mean by he's been sacked a lot but not for a lot of yards? You mean that, like, that they're just not losing many yards on the sacks?
He's careful not to be running deep. He's step up in the pocket, not throwing the ball into coverage, taking a chance. He's been smarter on his sacks.
Okay. What about Kiki QT? Is this the end of the Kiki era? It looked like he was going to kind of get a chance to get in there for Randall Cobb. Had a couple of catches early, which matched Cobb's total in Kansas City. But then, of course, he fumbled a big play in the game and got benched. Is Kiki's time here about up, or are we going to see number 16 again on the field this year?
When you've been injured as much as QT, then you can't afford to have mistakes like that. You know, a fumble is returned for a touchdown in a game up to that point, which was a close game. And why you'd have him in over Cobb is beyond me, unless Cobb had his shoe come off or needed a breather or got the air knocked out of him. I would not have QT in over Randall Cobb running a crossing route like he was. But, you know, it was – I feel bad for him because he's a good guy. He's worked hard. He's doing everything he can. He's got to feel terrible about it. And but I would imagine we'll see even less of him. But usually if a guy makes a big mistake and you think the guy has potential and you know he has talent, you give him another chance. You don't do it after a big turnover like that, because that may send a wrong message to the other players. But I think next time if I got him the ball, I'd be on the other end of the field.
We and you have referenced the offensive line a couple of times already here, you know, in our meeting here, so to speak. What this to me is absolutely mind blowing with all the you know, the revenue, all the equity they put into the offensive line. Where is the problem here? Is it that they miscalculate, or are they just not performing? I know you're talking about the defense as being good, but the Colts have a better defense than the Ravens and the Chiefs, and the Steelers have a better defense than the Ravens and the Chiefs. I mean, this is not something uncommon that they're going to be – they're going to be seeing these things all year long.
Well, sometimes too, it's not the line. Like, they got blitzed on the fourth and one call safety. They came with a blitz. Nobody picked up the safety. Boom. So they're not doing a good job of picking up the blitzes. But, yeah, the line should be playing better. Played better last year. I think Pro Football Focus had them seventh in the league in pass protection, but among the worst in run blocking. And so, yes, they should be better. I know Titus Howard played better. Tunsil's been good. And but the guys in the middle have to play better. And outside guys now, Tunsil and Howard, they've got T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree coming up to one of the, maybe the best pair of outside linebackers in the NFL when it comes to getting a quarterback. They've got – Tunsil has to play like he always does, and Howard has to improve on the performance against Baltimore like he did after Kansas City.
Do you anticipate a lot of blitzing from Pittsburgh? Obviously, they blitz more than anybody. They hit the quarterback, I think, more than anybody on Sunday. Is that going to be what we're going to see, is a lot of blitzing by Pittsburgh? And do you think Deshaun Watson is seeing what's going on at the line of scrimmage pre-snap? Because it almost seems like he's taking like an SAT or something like that every time he goes up there trying to figure stuff out.
I think the Steelers had 27 quarterback hits, and I believe that's most in the NFL. So whatever they're doing to get that, they should keep it up. Now, so I would expect that teams are going to blitz them until they show that they can stop it. Sometimes it's as simple as if a corner covering a slot receiver blitzes, the slot receiver goes right to the place he vacated, you throw it immediately. And when you do that, nobody's going to get to you. But you got to make quick decisions. You got to read them right, not just the blockers picking up the right guys. But Watson has to read them right as well. But I fully expect the Steelers. In the podcast Aaron Wilson I did today, that are on Texas Sports Nation the next 2 days, I said the over-under on sacks is 5. He picked under or 5. I picked over. I think the Steelers will get them down, tee off on them, same way the Ravens did. If the Ravens can do it, Steelers should be able to do it. So I went with 6.
Is Whitney Mercilus the worst contract on this team right now?
Well, right now, when he's off to a poor start, you know, they could have taken that money and given it to DJ Reader, but hopefully Whitney, who's just 30, well, whatever's happening, he'll bounce back and play better and make more plays.
John McClain with us here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. On to the Pittsburgh Steelers. True or false, John McClain will write a Watt Brothers piece this week.
Is that a leg hacking, or is that
just... No, I'm just asking, are we going to get a Watt Brothers piece from the general?
Absolutely. That's my column Wednesday through Thursday when we talk to JJ. I found out this week they don't make TJ available till Fridays after practice, which is the most worthless day of the week because almost everything is done for the weekend. I thought they'd make him available Wednesday, he and Derek. And they're not doing it for Friday for some reason. Thank goodness the Texans have JJ available every Wednesday.
Tell JJ to get him on the phone when you're talking to JJ. You can talk to both of them.
Yeah, right. They told me they've had so many requests for TJ and Derek. They're going to make them available. And I'm thinking, okay, great. On Wednesday? No, Friday.
Jeez.
NFL Hall of Famer John McClain here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Let's get world famous. We are 2 weeks into the 2020 season. Let's do a little leg hiking next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, John, you know what time it is. Leg hiking time with John McClain joining us here in the loop. But before we do that, John, I mentioned this in the last segment, and it just kind of struck a chord with me because you asked the question if the Jaguars would be 1-1 had they played the Ravens and the Chiefs. They beat the Colts, and the Colts currently are ranked number one in the NFL in total defense by a pretty good margin, almost 100 yards. They're giving up 208 yards per game. I just feel like, and you said it, you know, the Jaguars are better than we thought, but I just feel they look better than the Texans look right now.
They do look better, and one of the reasons is who they play. Tennessee has struggled to beat Denver. Tennessee struggled to beat the Jaguars. Neither one of those teams are the Chiefs or the Ravens, and I feel like if they'd have played those two teams, they'd be 0-2-2. I'm not excusing the way the Texans have played, but I'm trying to be realistic about the 0-2 record since that's what I expected. So there's no surprise as far as the record, only because of the way the offense has played.
John McClain with us here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. This was my favorite exchange last week between you and Bill O'Brien. You were talking about the tempo with Bill O'Brien. This is what it sounded like when you talked to B.O.B. on the Zoom.
Bill, when you guys were down in the fourth quarter, a lot of time was coming off the clock between plays. Would you like to play faster in a situation like that? And kind of talk about just the tempo of your offense. Does it change from game to game, or do you like it to be consistent?
I thought our, I guess the way that you looked at it, I thought our pace was pretty good in the fourth quarter. I mean, we're trying to, we got to get the play in and get the play communicated. And, I think we scored a couple touchdowns. I thought our pace was pretty good throughout the game.
All right, the Texans' pace was good in Kansas City.
That's his leg hiking.
Oh, no, absolutely not. It wasn't good. Hiking.
All right.
Not in the second half.
The Watts will account for 4 sacks on Sunday.
Oh, boy, let's see. TJ 3, JJ 1. Yeah, I agree. 4 sacks.
All right.
Lonnie Johnson is going to be a full-time safety by the end of the season.
Absolutely. He'll be a full-time safety before that when Gerrion Conley comes back.
Bill O'Brien and Tim Kelly are getting perilously close to doing to Deshaun Watson what happened to David Carr.
No.
Oh, absolutely not. Hike it. Deshaun Watson is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He's off to a slow start along with his offense.
Do you see what I'm seeing, though? And I wrote this piece yesterday on sportsradio610.com. He just has, like, voices in his head. He looks indecisive. And when I say that the other teams look better than the Texans, that's really what I'm talking about.
Are you talking about O'Brien,
Deshaun,
Kelly, or Watson?
Deshaun.
Yeah, I think right now he does, yes.
And he's getting
hit. Having him in the same sentence with David Carr.
No, hold on. I said getting perilously close to doing that to him. He's hit more than any quarterback in the NFL. He's been pressured more than any quarterback in the NFL. He is obviously being very indecisive and not really, playing with the confidence that we've seen. That's what I'm saying.
In the first two games, yes, you're right.
Okay.
NFL Hall of Famer John McClain here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. The Titans are the third best team in the AFC.
Absolutely not. Hike it, Figgy.
There are at least 9 teams in the AFC playing better than the Texans right now.
Let's see, 9 teams. I haven't counted it. Sure,
I'll give you,
why not?
I'll give you the 9.
No. I agree.
All right, okay, if you agree. We'll get back to that then.
Tim Kelly is, if this keeps going on, Tim Kelly will be replaced by Bill O'Brien as play caller by week 8. If this is going on in week 8, Bill O'Brien will grab the play sheet from Tim Kelly and start calling plays.
Okay, I just looked at the AFC standings. 9. Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, good.
I think if it's bad, if they don't get their offense in sync in a few games, yeah, I think O'Brien will take it back.
Mm. The Texans will score on their first drive against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's my column for tomorrow.
Oh, yeah?
One touchdown with Watson on their last 33 possessions.
Incredible,
but they scored on the first series at Kansas City in a playoff loss.
So I'm guessing you're hiking.
Oh, yeah. They will not score on the first series.
12 days from now, John McClain will violate social distancing policy at NRG and give a nice man hug to Gary Kubiak and Dom Capers when he sees them.
Absolutely not. Hike it. No way I do that with anybody.
Justin Verlander.
My wife has been practicing social distancing with me for years. Yeah. Now she's extra careful.
She's really.
Every time I try to give her a kiss, she puts her mask on.
She's been working on pandemic protocol for 20 years.
That's right.
Justin Verlander never will pitch another game for the Houston Astros.
No, next year's last year of his contract. He makes $30-something million. He'll miss next season. I don't see them at his age. They'll probably be rebuilding. I think he'll end his career somewhere else. Mm-hmm.
John McClain wants to see the Astros versus the A's in the postseason. And most importantly, wants to see Mike Fiers on the mound for the A's in one of those games.
Well, Mike Fiers has not pitched against them this season. They're obviously having him dodge them. Why, I don't know. He doesn't have to hit. It's ridiculous. I wish he would pitch against them. I don't care what the Astros do. I just like to see them beat the A's in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But based on what we saw like last night when they just totally stunk it up, I think they're 2-1. 2-1.
Is what he said.
One and done.
One and done. Bill O'Brien will not be the Texans head coach in 2021.
Hike it. I believe you will be the Texans head coach in 2021.
Okay. Only three Texans defensive starters could start on any other team. J.J. Watt, Zach Cunningham, and Justin Reed.
No, hike it. I think Bernhard McKinney could start on a lot of teams. I think, well, let's see. I'm trying to think of who else.
The only other one I was thinking of was Roby, maybe.
Yeah, Roby. I'm sorry. That's five. And McKinney can.
Maybe.
Justin Tucker is the best kicker John McClain's ever seen.
Hike it. Absolutely not. Adam Vinatieri is the best I've ever seen, and Tucker second.
I mean, that's a good list right there.
Offensive. I'm offended by you, John. Just kidding. NFL Hall of Famer John McClain. What's coming up on the Chronicle? When can we see that pretty face on TV?
We've got podcasts. We've got snippets from our TV show that runs every Sunday night after Sports Sunday on KPRC. We've got columns. We get everything anybody could want, and almost all of it is negative.
There we go. All right. NFL Hall of Famer John McClain with us on a Tuesday. Thank you very much. I do think you should consider giving Kubiak a hug, though, in 12 days. I think he might be worth violating it.
Guys, thank you very much, as always.
There we go.
All right, man.
Come on. Would you give Kubiak a hug if you saw him?
I'd give him a hug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he got tested.
I mean, you got to have a mask.
Yeah, but he got tested.
I'd wear a mask for sure.
But he got tested.
Sure.
Yeah.
They all do.
Give Kubiak a hug.
Yeah.
Miss that guy.
How could you not?
Yeah, you got to.
Yeah.
You got it.
Capers.
Yeah, I'm good on that.
I'd give him a fist bump.
He gets a head nod from me.
That dude has had a career.
He's been around for a while.
Man, he's had a career.
Kubiak's going to be here. They're in jeopardy of going to 0-3. Mm-hmm. So you could be facing an 0-3 team, a Vikings team that's going to be extremely desperate. But they're in a bad place, to say the very least.
Okay. You know how coaches always try to build up the opponent? Like Texas was playing UTEP. I didn't listen, but I'm sure Tom Herman was talking about, they got
good football team.
Yeah, good football team. They battle. They got good speed on the edges. Some of these cliches. All right. So Brooke Pryor covers the Steelers for ESPN. She's their Sarah Barshop.
Yeah. Well,
quote from Mike Tomlin: "The Houston Texans are a hot team coming in here."
Shut up, John.
Mike Tomlin, quote, "The Houston Texans are a hot team coming in here."
Shut up.
Hot what?
Hot what? Hot garbage.
He did not say that.
Talk to Brooke. Talk to Brooke Pryor. She's the ESPN Steelers reporter. He says they're hot because they have a lot of energy. But this is the biggest coaching, trying to build up the opponent, quote, ever. He said they're hot because they have a lot of energy and they're battle-tested. Well, they have been tested.
They are battle-tested.
They have been tested.
That is true. So he's not completely lying. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. The journey to Tier 2 begins today. Is Bill O'Brien looking for improvement in all the wrong places? The hits are stacked next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by United Rentals, the tools and equipment you need for any job. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All of the Watt brothers will be in Pittsburgh on the football field on Sunday when the Texans take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. JJ, coming off the loss to the Baltimore Ravens, showed his frustration maybe more than we've ever seen. Here's a little taste of the frustration of the best player in franchise history.
We didn't stop the run. We gave up some big runs. With the fourth and one, we gave up the touchdown. Then we gave up the long one there. So got to be able to finish the game, not just start it. I mean, at some point, you got to win these tough games against tough teams, good teams. I'm sick of losing them, that's for sure. Individual stuff doesn't matter a whole lot when you're not winning. So just trying to win.
There's one thing that I know J.J. Watt hates more than anything. It's losing. He hates losing. There's also something that I know that he loves more than anything, and that's his brothers. This game means a lot to J.J. Watt. It means a whole lot to J.J. Watt. And as a guy who's, I don't want to say J.J.'s about done with football, but he's on the final stretch of his career, final few years of his career. His brothers, they still have probably longer careers in front of them. If J.J. does lose this game, and he's 0-3, and his brothers are 3-0. I don't know how JJ really takes that mentally. This has got to be kind of a weird week for him mentally, because it's special because all three brothers are going to be on the field, but they're also appear to be in a better situation. I just wonder how JJ looks at that.
There is a point, right, where even for JJ, loves Houston, done so much for Houston, loves his team, obviously an icon. There is a point where he just does the old shoulder shrug and say, man, do I need to consider being somewhere else? I don't know if he's at that point. You can hear in his voice that JJ Watt is increasingly frustrated with just, you said losing, but I just think perpetual falling short. Not losing, they've won, they've gotten to the playoffs, etc. But just perpetual not quite getting there. And when you don't quite get there repeatedly, that's frustrating. And then if you have a bad year after that, that's devastating. And so that's what he wants to avoid. He sees this team 0-2 and is like, man, we've dug out of this hole in the past. Is this team capable of digging out of the hole? And you know somewhere in the back of his mind is that thought.
Next year, JJ's going to make $16
million. Right.
Which it's worth it with JJ's on the field, but it's not guaranteed. So I don't know if the Texans don't look like they're headed in the right direction. I just don't know how J.J. Watt, who's literally given his body to this organization. I mean, he's given more than any player in franchise history, in my opinion, and he's given his body to the point of three major injuries since he's been here on top of all the wear and tear.
Yeah.
At some point, you gotta be chasing that Super Bowl. I mean, I know Neil Smith at the same age. The Chiefs got rid of him, and he got his two Super Bowls. One of his childhood heroes, Reggie White. Reggie White left Philadelphia in his early 30s and went to Green Bay. At some point, especially with your brothers, I guess they're contenders. I don't know that the Steelers are in that top tier yet, but at some point, you got to start to look out for yourself a little bit.
It's like that promotion that you were up for three times and didn't get, right? Everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people have been in that situation where you're working, you're busting your butt, and you feel like you deserved this particular promotion. Didn't get it. They gave it to somebody else. All right. You know, maybe he was more deserving or she was more deserving. Next time, didn't get it. Maybe they were more deserving. Third time, you were deserving. You felt it was your time. You'd been there a while. You needed that promotion. You didn't get the promotion. After the third time you don't get it, what do? You start looking elsewhere. That's what's going on here. These are real people. J.J. Watt is a real person that has the same emotions and desires and ambitions that we all have. And so there is going to be a point. I don't know when it is, but there is going to be a point if this continues where he's just going to have to look elsewhere.
And I just also wonder if someone with JJ's power and JJ's pop in the city, at some point, do you really maybe say, we need a new coach or I got to go?
Or that's the other option.
Or does Deshaun eventually say, man, this just isn't working for me? I'm the franchise quarterback. We need a new coach. And that, again, that's under the assumption that things don't turn around. We've seen teams turn it around at 0-2. You can list all of them. John McClain did it. You can hear it at sportsradio610.com. But at some point, does someone with power in the organization say, man, this ain't heading in the right direction. I don't want to tread water anymore.
And is it even JJ anymore? You know, he's going to be 31 years old.
If it's not, it's Deshaun.
Right. No, I'm saying, but does he have that pull now? because the Texans have a say in this as well. Like, let's say they you know, as John McClain said, they go 8-8 and they don't fire him, Bill O'Brien, and all of a sudden JJ goes up to Cal McNair and says, "Man, we got to do something here. I mean, I'm frustrated." Does he even have that pull anymore? At that age in the end of his contract.
Be interesting to see. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610, playing the hits. Speaking of Bill O'Brien, could I interest you in a stat?
Come on now, you know it.
Through 2 weeks, the Texans are 30th in the NFL in rushing yards per game at 84.5. Only the two New York teams are lower. The Jets are averaging 6.5 less yards at 78. The Giants at 52. The biggest difference between the bottom three, though, is that the Giants lost Saquon Barkley. He got hurt. And the Jets lost Le'Veon Bell. So both the only two teams that are below the Texans when it comes to running the rock, both lost their starting running back. Here's Bill O'Brien yesterday on the Bill O'Brien Show, which you can hear every Monday at 5 p.m., talking about the Texans' lack of ability to run the rock.
Yeah, I think we have to be better. We've got to be better at running the ball. You know, look, Baltimore is very stout inside. They have large humans playing inside there. And we, at times, we had some good push there, and David was able to get a crease, but most of the time, not too much there. We have to do a better job running the football. We've got to do a better job working on a running game.
Per Aaron Reese of The Athletic, you talk about them being stout up front, Baltimore. That David Johnson never ran against an 8-man front.
That is the stat of the game, if you ask me. And here's why. If you can stop David Johnson in the Texans running game with 6, maybe 7 guys in the box, not really committing to the run, what does that do for those speedy wide receivers? It makes life miserable. It makes life miserable for them because there's an extra DB back there, maybe an extra 2 DBs back there. Maybe you can blitz a DB or a linebacker and you can go at it that way. No, if they can't establish the run against the Steelers and the Steelers are only have 6 guys in the box, it's going to be another long day, man. It's going to be another long day.
Or maybe they can throw the ball. And if they do throw the ball, maybe Deshaun can get the ball to Brandon Cooks and Randall Cobb. Through 2 games, Brandon Cooks has 7 catches for 115 yards, 7 for 115 through 2 games. Mm-hmm. Randall Cobb has 7 catches for 82 yards. So a combined 14 catches, which is what DeAndre Hopkins had in week 1, by the way.
Right, and but even beyond that, I mean, that's a great stat, and it's not exactly promising for the wide receiver. But even at that, It makes it even more difficult going down the road because it's on tape now, man. The Ravens are a good defense. They really are. But they're not the Steelers. And much to many people's surprise, maybe not that big of a surprise because we know the assets they've put on it, they're not the Colts. You know, the Colts have the number one defense in the NFL. You play the Colts twice, you play the Steelers this week. And there's some other good defenses that you're going to face down the road. If it's on tape that you can stop the Texans running game with 6 men in the box, that makes the receiving that much more difficult.
All right, so you just heard those stats. 14 combined catches for Cobb and Brandon Cooks. Here's mm-hmm. Bill O'Brien's evaluation of those two guys, his new weapons.
Both guys, Cooks and Randall, came up with some big catches for us. I thought that they played well. In the end, we have to spread it around to everybody. I thought overall there was some good chemistry with those guys and Deshaun, no doubt about it.
I mean, the play calling was the issue there. I mean, you're just getting them the ball in short situations. Only, you know, if you didn't hear the stat earlier, they have 6 total passes of more than 20 yards this year in 2 games. They averaged more than 5 a game last year. So they're not exactly stretching the field. They came in with the billing of, boy, these guys are so fast. They're so fast. And there's 3-4 of them that we're going to be able to use. How are teams going to be able to stop us from stretching the field, from taking our shots? They've taken 6 all year in 2 games.
They wanted to spread the ball when they traded DeAndre Hopkins. Cooks has 13 targets. Fuller has 10. Jordan Akins has 9. Randall Cobb has 9. David Johnson has 8. Darren Fells has 6. So at least the targets are closer than they were with DeAndre Hopkins. Here is Bill O'Brien on the tackling. He likes what he sees from Cooks and Cobb. He thought they did some good things in the run game. Here is Bill O'Brien on the tackling
I think that we definitely tackled better at times. I mean, I thought we fit the runs better early on. You know, the fourth quarter, they were able to get some yards on us. But I definitely think the tackling improved. It's got to continue to get better because it still wasn't where you want it to be. But it definitely improved from the previous game.
Let me just say one thing let me look at something really, really encouraging here. If there is something really, really encouraging, the defense, we talked about how they were good, but then they just couldn't withstand, you know, all the pressure because they couldn't hold up. I mean, depth is a problem, personnel is a problem, etc. I'm here to tell you, especially having been in the stadium on Sunday, and you're able to watch the entire field, and you're able to watch things away from the ball, things that television doesn't show you, Zach Cunningham is better than he's ever been. He was a Pro Bowl caliber player last year. I know he missed one tackle in this game, and he had maybe a couple of misses in Kansas City. This dude is all over the field. I'm not so sure, you're going to call me crazy, that you can least afford to lose Zach Cunningham on this defense.
Nah.
More so than JJ, more so than okay. Justin Reed.
I think he played the best last year, but I think if you lose JJ, you're effed.
I'm just saying, this dude, I can't say enough good things about him. I really watched him carefully. I meant to bring it up.
Are you going to say he went sideline to sideline?
No. I mean, he was close.
Just say it.
He was close.
Just say it.
I'm not
going to
say it.
I know you don't like it. Just say it.
I'm not going
to
say it.
Just say he went sideline to sideline.
He kind of did on a couple plays. No. He's really, really good, guys. I mean, I made it a point. This dude is – you can't – if you lose Zach Cunningham, you got nothing on defense.
Speaking of defense, here's Bill O'Brien's evaluation of the D.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there was definitely some improvement from the previous game. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I thought that the defense, you know, it doesn't look that way on the stat sheet. There was definitely improvement in areas. We still have to do a better job of stopping a run. We have to do a better job of trying to get the ball back, get the takeaways that we've been able to get in the past. But I definitely saw improvement from the defense, no doubt about it.
Well, and statistically, the defense is better than the offense.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that. They allowed Baltimore. Baltimore had 407 yards against the Texans on Sunday. That's the exact same amount of yards they averaged in last season. They averaged 201 yards passing. Texans actually held them 24 yards below that. They averaged 206 on the ground. They had 230. So they had some extra yards. And they averaged 33 points last year. Texans held them to 33. 14 of those points came when the offense gave him a short field and a Kiki QT fumble.
Yeah.
So I don't know what stats Bill O'Brien is looking at. He seems more pleased with the offense than the defense at this point. But if you really look at the stats, the defense has been, and especially when you factor in resources and the actual amount of investments,
the
defense is better than the offense. I don't know what he's looking at.
You're getting more bang for your buck on the defensive side, statistically and just from, you know, the eye test.
I don't know what he's watching. Eye test tells me Las Vegas might be pretty good, too.
Yeah.
They topped the Saints yesterday, 34-24. No Michael Thomas for the Saints, but Derek Carr, 28 of 38, 282 yards, 3 touchdowns. Threw the ball to 11 different receivers. Las Vegas, pretty good start so far. 2-0, and they beat a pretty good Saints team.
Really impressive win. Man, that stadium. Ooh, I'd like to get into that place. That looks nice. But Derek Carr, man. I mean, he made every throw. He made every throw. Gruden was talking about it after the game. Every throw that you could need to make. Let me ask you this, because this watching the Raiders last night is what made me come up with this number. Tell me if it's accurate, inaccurate, or you think I might even be shortchanging the number here. I said, and McClain actually co-signed it, there are at least 9 teams in the AFC better than the Houston Texans right now.
9 teams better in the AFC?
Just in the AFC, there are 9 teams.
Can you save these? Because I'm not going to be able to keep a straight face on this. Can you do these at noon?
Yeah, let's hear from Mike Tomlin at noon, too.
Yeah, we'll hear from Mike Tomlin in the noon hour. We'll also hear John Lopez. The Texans are the 10th best team in the AFC is what you're saying.
Currently.
Okay. All right.
You can ring the bell or sound the horn.
Okay.
On those.
All right. You know who else killed it yesterday, though?
Who?
The Killers at halftime.
I missed it.
Killers. Man,
I missed
they
it.
They played it all through Vegas. I played that song, No Lie,
mm-hmm.
And I know it's old. I played this 15 times after they performed that, and it was showing it live in Las Vegas.
If this song doesn't make you just go grab a girl at the bar and make out with a random chick, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Well, that could be classified as assault.
She likes it. If this isn't a white boy jam, I don't know what it is. Biggie, you like this song? You don't like it, do you?
It sounds cool.
It's a good song. Man. Cool.
Why you don't think it. I don't like it? I'm not just a hip hop guy, Landry.
Yeah, you do like.
At halftime, I changed the channel, you know, just to see what else was going on, and I started seeing all these tweets. Dude, man, the Killers!
Dude, they're on top of like the stratosphere, and then they have it playing through Vegas.
That's awesome.
I don't even know what I'm singing. I don't even know what this song's about.
It's like you don't know the words.
I don't even know what the song's about.
Yeah. Gotta bob your head on that.
This is some martini-friendly music.
Yeah, it is.
Here. Blake Bortles, mm-hmm. He has found a home. He has arrived in Denver. Blake Bortles.
The one and only.
Going to the high grade. Former Jags.
Hey, he's got some playoff wins.
Quarterback Blake Bortles. There are a lot of fines handed out over the week. I think there's going to be a couple more coming.
$1 million
in fines, over a milli, for coaches not wearing masks. Vic Fangio, former Texans defensive coordinator. Kyle Shanahan, former Texans offensive coordinator. And Pete Carroll all got fined $100,000 for not wearing masks. Teams got fined $2.5. I think John Gruden and Sean Payton will be next, based on what I was watching yesterday. I did not see very many masks over their faces. So, boy, that's a hefty fine.
Well, and the other thing about this is, you know, I've heard people say, well, why should they have to wear masks? Nobody else is on the field. They've all been tested multiple times every day in most cases. They shouldn't have to wear a mask. I think it's a couple of things. By the way, just reported today, the NFL, thousands of tests over the last week, and there have been no player positives just yet. But there have been some other positives in organizations. So that's why you wear the mask. It's just who knows if in the cafeteria you cross paths with someone that had whatever. You just got to do the right thing and set the example as well for other people.
I got to get to Vegas very soon, like within the next 2 months. I have to. I just have to. After seeing that, I really
When's
do.
Texans off week again? I saw it.
I'm going.
October?
November's when the dates are cheap, so I need to go the 8th or 15th at this point. I have to. Like, it's just a must. I just have to.
I mean, I might be in if it's a good off day.
It's just a must. Yeah. 713-572-4610. If you want to get in, we're going to hear from Mike Tomlin. He had some interesting things to say that might make you feel pretty good about your Houston Texans. Also, John Lopez, are you really going to do this?
Yeah,
are you sure?
Of course.
All right, John Lopez says the Texans are the 10th best team in the AFC. This is going to be cussed and discussed like a mofo next.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.